Well, good morning and welcome. Welcome to any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us, and welcome to those watching via the live stream. I greet you in the powerful name of Jesus, the name above all names, the one who went to the cross and the grave, overcoming death and giving us a way to life. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous, I have conquered the world. As we enter into our worship time this morning, remember that Jesus has conquered this world and that we can have peace because of his sacrifice. So praise God this morning for the life that he has given us through Jesus and the peace that we can have through Jesus as well. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your mercy that you show to each one of us each day. Thank you that we can have peace, a peace that you provide. This peace is such a blessing in a world that is in constant strife. Help us to open our hearts and worship you today, being grateful for all that you have done for us, in us and through us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I invite you all to stand if you're able this morning as we worship.
Pray and the way of your glory. I need
ushers come forward at this time as we take this morning's offering, which is for CrossNet Ministries, and there's also the Mike Dean's Count for the kids.
Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather here today to worship you, Lord. We want to take a moment to lift up these tithes and offerings that have been brought before you, Lord, and ask a blessing upon them as they go out to CrossNet Ministries, Lord, and the many organizations that they support, Lord, in the Elanco community here, Lord. Just take them and bless them, that they would be used to further your kingdom, Lord, and that the people that are reached by them, Lord, would be blessed and come to know you, Lord, through their activities, Lord, that they would be part of the churches in our community, Lord, that they would come to know you and have a personal relationship with you, Lord. We thank you for all these things in your name. Amen.
Yeah. Jubilation.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Ah, you seem awake today. Well, it's a beautiful day outside. And so I'd like to tell you a story about Sunday school. You're thinking, that might not be so interesting, but it happened right around Easter, which is right now. We're really close to Easter. Very few short weeks away. The Sunday school teacher gave each child an empty Easter egg to take home, the plastic ones that you can pop open, with the instructions of bringing it back the next Sunday with something in it that reminded them of new life. So they came back the next Sunday. They brought their Easter eggs along with some stuff in. One person put a flower in it. You know, a flower is kind of a symbol of new life in the spring. Flowers are coming up. Winter is ending. Someone else brought in some leaves. You know, leaves, they bud on the trees in the spring and they turn everything green. That's definitely a symbol of new life. One boy put a rock in it. They're like, a rock? They couldn't understand what the rock was about. And the boy's like, I just wanted to be different. I didn't want to put a flower in. I didn't want to put leaves in mine. So I just felt like putting a rock in. The last egg to be opened was brought in by a boy who people in the class, they made fun of him. They teased him on different occasions because he had a learning disability. Well, he had a physical disability as well. And when he opened his egg, it was empty. They were kind of confused. They're like, what is going on? Until the boy said to his teacher,
it stands for the tomb.
Yes, exactly. It represents, there's some things of things that we think of in the spring of more new life, but it's the empty tomb. His egg was empty because the tomb was empty. Jesus rose from the dead. All the other kids, they kind of fell silent. And then from that point on, they never made fun of that boy again. And they treated him like a classmate. They accepted him and treated him kindly. Jesus came to us to bring each one of us new life. And we can see that in creation all around us. I mean, you just think of all those things that happen, and we think of new life all the time. But sadly, a little while after that Sunday morning, that boy got sick, and he died.
Why?
Well, he got sick. Because of his disability, he got sick real easy, and he became sick, and he died. But all of his classmates, they remembered when he brought that empty egg representing the empty tomb, and they remembered that. And we can have a new life in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come." Hang on, I didn't have a blank slide in there. We'll get to those pictures later. When you have Jesus in your hearts, we are made new. It changes the things that we say, and it changes the things that we do. So remember that because of Jesus, we have new life. And when you see new life coming out in God's creation, remember that. So I'd like to pray for you, and then you can have a snack. They're over here. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for these children. Bless them. Help them to receive you into their hearts and have new life. Help them to remember the empty tomb, that you, Jesus, are alive. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a sneak. Oh, wow. It's going to be one of those days. You may have a snack and head back to your seats, huh? Sometimes my mouth doesn't connect with my brain, and then it doesn't work properly. So that's my encouragement for everyone to preach a sermon. So they. Well, good morning again. And before we get deeper into our message, I'd like to spend a few moments in prayer for our nation and our country. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, our nation needs you. Above all else, you are the one who created everything, and there's nothing outside of your knowledge, your strength, and your power. Lord, I pray that you bring our nation back to you. Be with our leaders. Make them open to your leading. Revive this country. There are so many that are lost and hurting. Help us as a church to stand on the gospel truth. Help the church not to be deceived by the world. And help us to show the true love of Jesus to everyone around us. You, Lord, are the one who can change this nation. Help us to do our part for your kingdom. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. So I want to thank you for your prayers for Teresa and I. Last weekend we attended Family Life's Weekend to Remember in the Poconos. It's a marriage conference. They have many around the nation. The enemy threw everything at us leading up to this event that we wanted to go to, because the enemy hates marriage, and he wants it to fail and be apathetic in nature. Because God ordained it, and God wants it to grow and prosper. God wants us to have a marriage filled with new life. Teresa and I felt that we needed to go. There were some things that we were both feeling, and we weren't sure how to work on them or exactly what they were. So leading up to the event, we had this moment where we were thinking, should we go? Should we not go? We had received a very large car repair bill, and we were waffling back and forth what we should do. We changed our hotel reservations from on-site, from where the conference was, to about 25 minutes away, and we decided our marriage is important. We want to go. We want to work on it. So I want to share a few things that we learned. They mesh well into our message this morning. On the first night, they had you stand up if you were married 15 years or more, and they went up the scale till they got to the couple who was oldest and married the longest, and they gave them a prize. They were married for 48 years. Then they started from 15 years and went down to the couple who was married the shortest, and they were married for 2 months. So it is never too late to work on your marriage, and it is never too early to work on your marriage. One of the things that stood out to us is that you're always moving. See, you get married, you're paddling along in your canoe, you and your spouse, you're paddling upstream towards oneness. Oneness is the goal in your relationship with your spouse and with God. But then you get hit with stuff, and it's hard to see in this picture, but only one person is paddling. They're still moving towards oneness, but they're not getting much done. Then all of a sudden, nobody's paddling. And you don't just sit there. You immediately start moving backwards. If you ever paddled upriver in a canoe, as soon as you stop paddling, you're going the other direction. And this is where the enemy wants us, because there's no static area. You're either moving towards oneness or you're moving towards isolation. So even if you're barely moving towards oneness, keep moving, keep paddling, keep going towards oneness so you're not moving towards isolation. One other thing that we learned is that we are a triangle relationship. Teresa and I are at the bottom, and God is in the middle at the top. So as we move closer to God, we need to move closer to each other spiritually, or our triangle gets kind of out of whack and starts to look funny. Because this is what it should look like. The triangle should get smaller. As I'm moving in oneness with God, I'm moving in oneness with my spouse, and that triangle gets smaller. During the weekend, it was amazing to see how God was working in little areas that we were not expecting. So I would encourage you to go to a marriage conference, to work on your marriage. Teresa and I went 20 years ago to Hershey for a weekend to remember a conference there. What we learned there was different from what we learned now, because God provided what we needed in the season that we were at. So are you paddling towards oneness, or are you moving towards isolation? Proverbs 18:1a says, "One who isolates himself pursues selfish desires." When we're not heading towards oneness, we're drifting in our own selfish desires. And this applies to every Christian's life, not just to those who are married. This applies to everybody. You're either moving in oneness with God, or you're drifting towards isolation in your own selfish desires. So have you worked on your marriage? Have you spent time deliberately working on your marriage? Yes, going to the cabin for the weekend alone without your kids is fun, it's great, but are you truly spending time working on your marriage? One other main point is that I must work on myself and not Teresa, and Teresa must work on herself and not me. We have to work on ourselves, not someone else. And working on your marriage brings life to your spouse, to your family, and it can have an impact for generations to come. So now onto our message. Our message is titled Called to Life, and this is something that applies to all areas of our life. It applies to our marriage, it applies to spiritual lives, it applies to our family, our friends, and much more. When we have the love of Christ in us, God is calling us to spread that love to all the areas of our lives. So we're going to look at what God can do and is doing in us as This is a well-known passage of Scripture, yet it is good to look at. I'm going to read Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by his Spirit and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There was a great many of them on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. Then he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I replied, "Lord God, only you know." He said to me, "Prophesy concerning these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. I will cause breath to enter you, and you will live. I will put tendons on you, make flesh to grow on you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you so that you come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied, as I had been commanded. While I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, tendons appeared on them, flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. He said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the Lord God says, breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Look how they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is perished. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord God says, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them, my people, and lead you into the land of Israel. You will know that I am the Lord, my people, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the declaration of the Lord." The nation of Israel was in exile in Babylon. The prophet Ezekiel is shown by God, even in the midst of this judgment, God is going to raise up a remnant. The nation is in exile because of the sin they had. They walked away from God and went to worship idols, living like the nations around them that God had pushed out from the land when they came in and took over. This must have been overwhelming to many, wondering, why has this happened? See, God is not punishing the nation because he enjoys it. He wants them to come back to a right relationship with him instead of following false gods like they were doing. God is using this exile time to get their attention, so that they will come back to him because he loves them. He cares for them. Ezekiel is shown a valley full of bones. Those bones are very dry. They haven't had life in them in a long time. God tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones. Tell them they are to come to life. This process doesn't happen all at once. They were formed, yet they still didn't have the breath of life in them until God breathed life into them. This set of verses applies in different ways to us. The one way is that we were all sinners and have fallen short of the glory of God. We are all spiritually dead like the dry bones. The Holy Spirit works in us, calling us out of the graves that we're in. God begins to work in and on us, speaking to our hearts, calling us to come to him. And when we accept Jesus into our hearts as our Lord and Savior, when that happens, God breathes new life into us, taking us from a shell that is lifeless to filled and overflowing with his Holy Spirit. Or maybe we're like the Israelites and we've fallen away from God and we follow other things. We allow other things to creep in and keep us from following God fully. God is calling us to come back and be filled with that breath of life. Ezekiel was talking about the nation of Israel coming back from exile to their land. God says, I have spoken. I will do it. God made a promise, and he also promises us. And this parallels the promise that he made through Ezekiel to Israel. Listen to this promise that God made us in Romans 8, 1 and 2. And then verses 6 to 11. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. 6 to 11. Now the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you. We are free. Free from the law of sin and death. How wonderful and amazing is that? When we sin and everyone sins, we are guilty, yet because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, rising from the dead, we can be free. When we ask Jesus into our hearts as our Lord and Savior, we go from being living in the flesh and what the flesh desires to living in the Spirit, living for what the Holy Spirit desires. We become truly alive. Just like Christ was raised from the dead, we will be raised to new life as well. God is calling us to new life. He wants us to come to Him, give Him our burdens, our hurts, our worries. He made us to be filled with life, not a pile of dry bones. We're supposed to be filled with this new life, this abundant life that God has promised to us. So why do we walk around defeated and dead, lifeless shells of what we could be? God wants and has so much more for us. But we let this world and we let Satan beat us down until we're feeling defeated. The enemy has lost. Jesus has won the victory. We need to start living out that victory. We have to live it out in our lives. John 11, 1 to 45, and I'm not going to read all of that. That would be a lot. But I'm going to paraphrase some of that and read a couple verses out of that. Lazarus was sick. Mary and Martha, his sisters, sent word to Jesus that the one you love is sick. Jesus stays where he's at for 4 more days. Why didn't Jesus rush to him? It says that he loved him. Why didn't he go right away? But he waited 4 more days. Jesus was going to use this to bring glory and honor to God the Father. When Jesus finally arrives, Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. Martha heard that Jesus has arrived So she went out to meet him. Verses 21 to 27 in John 11. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Yet even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Your brother will rise again," Jesus told her. Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she said to him. "I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world." Martha then goes to Mary, who stayed at the house where she was. They have a conversation, and then Mary goes to Jesus. Mary was crying, and Jesus wept. He wept because he loved Lazarus so much. I'm going to read verse 38 and 40. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. "Remove the stone," Jesus said. Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, "Lord, there is already a stench because he's been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Jesus tells us that he is the resurrection and the life, that everyone who believes in me will never die. Then he goes, and he calls Lazarus out of that grave. He calls him to life. Verse 43, after he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." I want you to put your name in there. Read that and put your name in there, because God is always calling us out of that grave, that darkness that we try to always go back to. It comes down to our choice. Are we going to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and come out of that grave? Are we going to come back to God, trusting in Him? See, the enemy wants us to stay in that dark place. He likes to beat us up and put us down so that we believe that we should be there, even when we've been set free. The enemy tries to keep us in the grave. So we need to step into life. God is calling us to a life of freedom, a life of power, a life filled with His Spirit, unafraid of the enemy because the enemy is defeated. Walking in new life, a new life that is promised to us. The church needs to wake up and stop walking in defeat. We need to walk in victory, the victory that Jesus has won. We need to go and share this message of Jesus to our town, our county, our state, our nation, and the world, so that everyone has the opportunity to step out of that grave that they are in into a new life with Christ, whether it's for the first time or coming back to their first love. This is what we are called to do every day. So how many of you have been living in the grave, believing the lies of Satan? Well, it's time to get out of that grave and step into life. If you want out and you want a new life, I'd invite you to stand up right now. Stand up and make a statement to the enemy that he has no power over you, that you belong to Christ, and you are moving into oneness with Jesus and away from your selfish desires and isolation where you've been living. So I'd invite you to do that now. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to pray for you. Receive the new life that God has for you. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you are the giver of life. We want new life. We don't want to be where we are. We are stepping out of this grave that we keep trying to live in. This is not where you want us. Jesus has won the victory. Fill us with your freedom and new life. Jesus, come into our hearts as our true Lord and Savior. Forgive us of our past. In the name of Jesus, the name above all names, amen. You may be seated. Walk in new life. Walk in freedom. I'd also like to spend some time in prayer. So if you'd have something you need prayer for, I'd invite you to come forward, come front. I'd like to pray for you. If there's something going on that you need prayer, come front and receive what God has for you this morning. So I'd invite you to come forward. Thank you, Colin. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you want so much more for us than we can ever imagine. Fill us with that new life. Change us, remake us. We are not to live defeated lives. Strengthen us to go and share this new life with others. Lord, I also lift up the quiz team as they're in Ohio. Give them safety as they travel home. Watch over them and bless them. We just thank you for all of those who have put in the time and work this season as leaders. And we thank you for the youth as they learned your word and memorized it. I pray that it will be a blessing throughout their entire life. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song. I have two quick announcements. The quiz team got third place in Ohio. They got first place in the tournament last weekend. That's wonderful news. There is an announcement in your bulletins about Servants, Inc. Their sign-up period closes very soon, so I'd encourage you to sign up. I don't believe anybody from Bowmansville has signed up yet, so there's a note in your bulletin for that. So will you stand for the parting benediction? Walk in new life, the life given for all. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.